from the twisted realm of science and the darkest pits of reason comes chilling tales of godlessness. Bear witness to the unfathomable terror that is the Good Atheist.
Hello and welcome to the GoodAtheist.net podcast. I'm Jacob Forte. And today's a very, very special episode. As you'll notice, I'm actually all alone. There's no Ryan this show. No, I haven't killed him. Maybe not yet. But I'm actually doing the show alone. It's fairly late at night. I was just about to go to bed, and I read an email, and I thought that it would be good if I actually responded to the email as a radio show, as a private radio show. Because I also wanted to make an announcement after I was done. So, okay, let's start off with the person who wrote me the letter. That's Allison. And Allison wrote in because she loves the show. So that's pretty good. Nothing wrong with that. And she decided that she wanted to share some of the reasons why she liked it. So she wrote me a lengthy email. Well, lengthy. Maybe not too lengthy, but still a long email about what her life was all about and what she believed, and she wanted to try to have a discussion with me. And when I read that, I guess I figured out that one of the things that I've realized in the short time that I've been doing The Good Atheist is just how eager people are to try to connect with one another. It amazes me, the fact that we get people who actually listen to the show. I mean, think about it. I just put something out there, and then a couple thousand people seem to tune in all the time, which is just, I don't know, it boggles my freaking mind as to why people do it, and yet they do. And I think the reason that we do that is just the same reason why our society is the way that it is, why we get together, why we form groups, why we form governments, why we have religious groups. We do it because we want to connect with other people. And one thing that I don't know if you guys know, I mentioned this sort of in the first few podcasts, was the reason why I started doing this book was, this podcast was because I wanted to do a book. I wanted to write a book, and I thought the best way to do that would be to, you know, just start a podcast and get a few thousand people to listen in. And next thing you know, you go to a publisher and you say, "Hey, buddy, give me some money." And he's like, "All right, you got a couple thousand fans, I'd be a fool not to," right? So obviously, that was my plan. And it was just going to be a book about atheism. I guess I just wanted to put in my two cents, just the same way that I do with the podcast. But one of the things that I started learning as I got more involved, as I started, you know, trying to establish a web presence, as I got in contact with more and more people, then I started understanding more about what I wanted to write. And I realized that, in a sense, I wasn't actually writing about atheism. I was writing something much broader than that. And the thing that I was writing about, the realization that I had to do with how people try to connect, how Allison tries to connect, how I try to connect with you guys. It is a conversation that I'm having. It's a one-way conversation right now, but everything about the site, everything about, you know, the projects that I do usually involve a two-way conversation, because that's the nature of it. That's why usually on the show it's me and Ryan. We're having a conversation. People are listening to a conversation. They're not listening to me, well, ranting as I'm doing right now. And I think once I kind of clued into that, the idea behind the book, the idea behind the website started to evolve. And that made me think about Good Atheist as well. You know, it made me think, what do I want to do with it? How do I want to try to go to the next level with Good Atheist? Well, one of the things that I'm doing is that I am writing a new book. I've decided to put the atheist stuff that I was writing in context of what the new book is about. And the new book is a very short book. It's hopefully going to be done in a few months, and it's on a very, very simple principle. And this principle will become obvious when I re-mention it again at the end of this long-winded rant, if you will. And it's basically this, that every conceivable relationship in your life, be it with people, be it with institutions, be it with even animals. All of these are a product of trust. Now, I know that most of you are thinking to yourselves, oh yeah, you know, trust is important, I need to trust the people I'm with. That's not the kind of trust I'm talking about. I want you to put yourself into the shoes of another person, just another human being that you share nothing in common with. You've never met this person. Now, you are an individual, biological organism. You seek one thing and one thing alone above all other things, and that is to survive. You will do whatever you need to live. And if you want a proof of that, just put a bunch of people on an island, give them very little food, and say, see ya, and you'll notice that, well, they'll start doing some pretty crazy things to you if they think that they are in danger, if they're going to die. And yet, on a regular basis, even though there are dangers all around us, we still choose to team up together. And we do this because we have an innate need to connect with other people. And I believe that this connection is something that is just so fundamental, so basic, that it is what commands you to reach out to others. And obviously, any species that develops this need to become social is going to have a problem, and that is they are going to be easily exploitable by those that seek to, well, abuse them. You know, obviously, again, from an individual biological perspective, if I'm looking out for myself and I see some sucker who would like nothing more than to attach themselves to me, I'm like, all right, I can use this guy. So what we do is, over time, that mechanism is monitored by a very precise and very intuitive understanding, and that is trust. So that every time you talk to someone, you establish trust, because you'll take all kinds of things into account. You'll take on the intonations in their voice, their body language, their past history. You may even look at some superficial details that you wish you didn't. You might look at their race. You might look at their religion. You might look at any available clue that tells you that you can trust that person. Because again, without trust, then there is the danger of either being used, or there is the other very real danger of being killed, which is the other risk that we always face when we're around so many people. So once I realized that that my book was about trust, that every relationship can be understood as a reflection of the dynamic of that trust. So if I want to understand how my economy works, then I have to understand it as to the types of mechanism and organizations that I lend trust to. Money is an example of that. I trust that this piece of paper represents a certain amount of wealth, and everybody else trusts that exact same thing. There are millions of people living in my country that have trust that a $5 Canadian dollar bill is worth $5, that I can, or $5 worth of materials. Now, once I decided that I was going to write this book about trust, I guess I began to look about how this relationship applies to a lot of other things, and how it applies specifically to what I do now. Now, I want to seek and make a connection with all of you. I want to record as many shows. I want to work on my book and complete it. And I've realized that to do that, I have to make sure that I have a plan. I have a plan to do this, because it's not easy. You have to devote quite a bit of your time to actually trying to study this thing, and to write is, it's difficult, obviously. And I thought to myself, well, how better to do this than to reach out to the people who make a connection with me on a weekly basis? And what I decided that I wanted to do was to initiate a trust exercise with you guys. And my trust exercise is that I want to create more content for you. Now, obviously, I'm going to continue to work on the podcast, weekly podcast, that's for sure. We're also upping the amount of posts on the site. So if you've never been to the site, go to the site. We're posting up like crazy. But I also want to produce more content, but that this content be for patrons. I want to seek out people who want to support what I do and what Ryan does. Now, obviously, it extends beyond just the podcast. Like, I would say we want to record an extra podcast a week, and that this podcast would be available to patrons only. Now, obviously it sounds a bit like extortion, but it's not. It's really me providing more content to those people that believe in a model that's based not on trying to make money through advertising, but actually through trust. I want you guys to trust me that I'm going to provide you the best content that I possibly can, and that I'm going to write a book that's going to matter. Because you may dismiss this idea, and perhaps you think it's actually relatively silly, but think about how your life is influenced by the trust dynamic. And think about how often you've done things because you lost faith in someone, lost trust in. Think about how many people who lose trust in, say, their religion, and how they feel after that. They feel betrayed. They feel as though they've been lied to. We have all kinds of stigmas, all kinds of problems because of the ways that we try to manage trust in our lives and the way that we trust other people around us. I mean, most of us lock our doors, right? What are we really afraid of? I mean, statistically, the odds of you getting attacked are very low, and yet people still lock their doors. It's safer now than it was just 15 years ago, and yet we're far more afraid than we ever were. And the reason is because we are succumbing to our paranoia. And paranoia is one of those things that is the absolute enemy of trust. That any time a person suddenly loses the ability to play trust exercises with others and thinks that they are against him, well, I think the results are predictable. They are violent. How else would you react? Imagine a scenario in which you could trust nobody. I think probably the perfect scenario is a zombie movie. All right, so you have a zombie movie, and everybody that is on your team could be infected. You have no way to trust. You will always have to be vigilant because they could turn at any time. So obviously, that's going to affect how you respond. If you think that they have turned, what kind of reaction would you have? Now, obviously, that's an extreme one, but think about how a paranoid person might view that situation. They think that the person next to them, or the person that is in another country, wants to kill them. So the first response that they have is, I'm going to kill them first. And that's why violence is usually so predictable as a result, as a consequence of the loss of trust. And that's paranoia. Now, obviously, I'm making a blanket statement. Not everybody's, just more afraid. Some people are less afraid, and that's fine. I'm talking as a cultural phenomenon. We are far less trusting. And some of us have reason to be. I mean, look at our economy. Our economy collapsed because the agencies and the organizations that were there were not worthy of our trust. And we were not vigilant to that because we didn't fully understand that it was so contingent on that one thing. That even beyond all the rules that you had heard before, oh, we needed to make sure that we had these caps, or we needed to make sure that fractional lending was controlled, blah, blah, blah. That even all of those details still boil down to the fact that on a specific day, so many people lost trust that everything that the economy had anticipated and hoped for collapsed. That all of a sudden debts were being claimed. They were like, you need to pay us money right now because there's a run on the bank. And a run on the bank represents the loss of trust. And in a sense, that's what happened to our economy. And that's what could happen to a number of institutions. If we all lost trust immediately, instantly, over any institution that we have, be it government, be it religious, the results would be catastrophic because, again, we function orderly when there is an adequate level of trust. And that's what's so important about that idea. And that's also what's so, in a sense, dangerous, deadly, because trust is a two-way street. If I fly a plane into a building, I have to have an incredible amount of trust in terms of the information that's been fed to me, in my interpretation of that information. Because even a person who is told, you must strap this bomb and you will go to heaven and meet, 79 virgins or 77, I forget the number, of virgins, but a great deal. And you'll bring 100 members of your family to paradise. You have to be sure that that's true. You have to trust the source information. And as simple and as easy as you think that is, you would be surprised how far and how hard it is, how far you have to go, how hard it is to convince someone to trust you to that degree. I mean, it is an entire lifetime worth, because although we start off very trusting as children, oftentimes there are things that make us, well, you know, very paranoid and suspicious, as we probably should be every once in a while. We can't be fully trusting. So once we lose that, you know, complete faith, once we lose that trust, then it's much more difficult for us to be convinced again. And look at the perpetrators of 9/11. These were educated men. So they were educated enough that the degree of trust that they needed to have in the information must have been great indeed. And that signifies also the dangerous side of too much trust. That although trust is a great thing, it's also something that can be used in a negative fashion. So that it is always up to us to remain vigilant about how much trust that we will give in any institution. That as long as they're set up to be, you know, analyze, as long as anyone can voice a dissenting opinion, then we have hope that we haven't lost our way, that we haven't put too much trust into something. In a sense, I guess my book says the statement that faith is trust, and which is why it kind of ties back to atheism. And obviously, I don't want to give the entire book away. That's just a small portion of it. There's obviously more to come, and hopefully the book will develop into something that's far more interesting, because I think I'm onto something, and I want to just keep talking about it. I want to keep making funny radio shows for you guys. This particular radio show is a plea to you. It's a plea to Allison, who wrote me the email and who wanted a connection. I'm saying, Allison, would you like to be a patron? I am asking Allison and all of you to devote $20 a year to my endeavors. I am asking you to patronage me for one entire year, that after that year I will commit to having finished the book and for producing for you every week an extra podcast for those of you that pay. So you will get two Good Atheist podcasts, and we're going to go full out. I mean, we're actually going to buy a much more professional microphone, a better setup so that the sound gets done a lot more efficiently, that we're more comfortable when we do the show. We're actually going to research topics a little bit more. I have to admit, I have been half-assing it. This is not my full-time job, but I want it to be. I want it to be, and I think that the way to accomplish this is through a patron system. And, you know, another reason why I've decided to update the blog as often is that I want you guys to see where your money's going. Because even though that free content is there to attract people, it's there to attract patrons at the end of the day. And, you know, this is for me a new model of how to do business online. Many places do it. Radio Paradise, that I greatly admire, they are a, you know, listener-supported radio. They have patrons, and they get by. They get by because of the strength of what they're doing. So in a sense, I guess I'm putting myself out there of saying, I think I have the ability to make a product that you guys will be proud of, that I think that you'll see that less than $2 a month was, you know, very little to pay to help develop the Good Atheist, to help pay also for the extra content that I want to make for you guys. And obviously I'm going to be fair about this. For the month of March, starting the Tuesday, because we're going to be doing shows on Tuesdays, starting the Tuesday, I believe that's March 3rd, that entire month we shall be doing two radio shows a week. So that's regardless of whether or not you decide to become a patron. I want you guys to see what it'll be like. You know, if the quality is no good, then you don't have to be a patron. But if it is great, if you really enjoy what you heard, then you know what? We're going to continue doing. We are committing to 1 year of two Good Atheists, excuse me, every week. I think the cost of each one ends up being something like 40 cents for an extra half-hour show. That's how much a week it comes down to. I don't even think it's that much, but it doesn't matter. I'm asking you guys to believe in a model. And it's funny because that model ties back to the book itself. I mean, in a way, I have to trust that I can interest enough people in this idea that they want to be part of it. And it's why I trust to tell you about the project that I'm doing, the book that I want to write. It's a very personal thing to me. It's my book, and I'm letting you see inside of it. But I do that because I think that it's only the beginning of it. I'm only now beginning to understand what the book is going to be about. And there's so many ways that I want to describe to you guys how that trust relationship affects different aspects in economics, in spirituality, in humor, in human relationships, in love and sex. All of these things, I want to apply my understanding of this model to all of those different categories, just because that's what the book is going to be all about. And I'm asking you guys to be my patrons. If you'll be seeing in the next few days the all of the documentation in order to do so. I'm not asking you to donate right now. I'm asking you to give me 1 month to definitively prove to you that your investment is going to be worth it. And that is my plea. And I hope that in the honesty that I am presenting this, you see that I'm not fucking around. This is serious. I am putting my faith, I'm putting my trust in the patronage system. And I guess we'll see if it ends up panning out. Well, that's the extra special radio show. That's my response to Allison, who wrote me that email and said that she wanted to tell me that she loved the show, wanted to make an input, she wanted to tell me about her life, she wanted to have a conversation, and you know, that inspired me to want to tell you guys about this. And I thought the best way to describe it was to just make it something personal for her and to share with all of you guys, because I'm asking you the same thing. Because I think that, like Allison, you guys want to have that connection. You guys want to demonstrate that, you know, being an atheist is more than just not believing in God. We're humans too. We want to connect with one another. We want to, you know, meet other people. We want to share conversations about things we're passionate about. And that's what I want to keep doing. And that's what I want to ask you guys to help me do. All right, with that, my name is Jacob Forte, and I hope that you have a good atheist day.